This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Right back at it on the Fan in New York. I always appreciate the callers that keep their place in line when we're going to throw to a guest or an interview when we go to break, and they're like, no, I'm not giving up my spot. I'm going to hold. Because if you do that, you end up getting on sooner than you thought. We are trying to connect with Jordan Schultz right now. Two calls, two misses. I'm sure he's busy being an insider. Maybe he's getting some breaking news on your New York Football Giants. So we'll continue with the calls on the Giants. And then we'll also get to more of the conversation around the Jets. You just heard a little bit of Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee today. We have cuts from that. And we also have Zach Gelb, our very own ZG, talking to Garrett Wilson about the future with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to play all of that for you. Stay tuned. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 1 hour down, 4 hours to go. Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park, New Jersey. Thanks for holding, Mike. You got it.
Hey, how's it going?
You know,
so but the Giants, you know, I think it's possible after this Thanksgiving game, if the Giants play the same like they just did, and we get the same answers from Dable, like we have to do better, or players, they
look,
don't know
tape.
What's going on. You know, can you imagine?
The effort was there.
What was that?
The effort was there. I don't think guys
play right.
Soft. The effort was
right.
There.
You know, I mean, just remember, this is when the Maras will be having Thanksgiving dinner at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. They're going to be watching that. And I'm telling you, I'm wondering if that's going to push the Maras over the edge. And they may not make a move then, but at the end of the season, he may say, that's it, I've had enough. So just remember, the Mara family, they will be sitting down, eating whatever meal they're having. They're going to be sick to their stomachs, okay? So that is, that won't go away. So just think about that, and I'll listen to your thoughts. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I have thought about that. And the press conference that Joe Shane had, I think 2 weeks ago now, he just looked like a guy whose seat was not hot. And then as we're quoting Brian Dable talking about, we got to look at the film. We'll go over it. The effort was there. You know, well, that's in the past. The Daniel Jones stuff is in the past. You know, we
we're just trying to move forward. We got to get ready for the, like, you know, he's able to coach speak you to death. He's able to dance around that stuff because he knows I'm good. And whatever happens here. But ultimately, the vision here is to tank, right, and get my quarterback. The Holy Trinity must be completed. Mara has sold his soul to these guys, all because of the revolving door, right, that he had with Joe Judge, Pat Shurmur, Ben McAdoo, you know, like having two years of coaches and saying, no, we can't do that. I think he's in for the long haul, and these guys have bought themselves time. They bought themselves time. I think back to the Daniel Jones contract, man. They should have never done that. If you had the balls to let an all-time player like Saquon Barkley go test the market, how did you not have that same gall with a zero-star recruit who had no scholarships coming out of high school, who walked on at Duke, who you didn't draft? Like, how come you didn't have that same energy for a guy that you passed on picking up his rookie option for $22 million when you inherited him? He had 15 touchdown passes. How come you didn't keep that same energy with Daniel Jones that you had for Saquon? And, okay, then you got to pay him around the market rate, $160 million contract, $40 million a year. But you gave yourself this out knowing, like, hey, I don't believe in this guy. I don't believe in this guy. Well, I believe in this guy. You know, I gave him a couple minutes, and now he's come through. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce the guy that told you you didn't want to miss this conversation on The Fan. Right now, let's welcome in Fox Sports NFL insider, the co-host of Why is Draymond Green Talking About Football? It's not Draymond Green. It's Jordan Schultz.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing, buddy?
Jordan, my man, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it, bro. I remember talking to you on Instagram a while ago. Maybe on some hoop stuff, maybe on some net stuff. Or I don't know, but I've been following your content for a while. I want to start here. You know, I obviously looked you up and I'm familiar with you. But for the audience that is not familiar with you, just give us a quick background on, like, where you went to school, how you got in the industry, how you got to where you are right now. Congratulations. I think I saw you sign with Michael Strahan's group.
I did. Thank you so much, Keith. Very kind of you. You know, I grew up in Seattle, played college hoops. Wasn't very good, and decided I should give football a try about 3 years ago. Made the decision on the heels of some conversations I had where I don't think being a generalist was very good. I thought that having the – I always felt that if I had a different skill set and could do a lot of different things, that would serve me well, but it was actually hurting me, and I was hesitant to go down the route of NFL insider, knowing that it's a very competitive space and that it's a very specific type of space. But I guess I gave it a try, and it was a good decision. But it was certainly hard to leave my first love, which was basketball.
Understood. But, you know, they say it's not what you know, it's who you know. And you must know some people, man. I feel like you got your ear to the streets. You must know somebody in East Rutherford, maybe Weehawken area, New York City, because you are tapped in with the Giants. I mean, I was following your stuff. You were ahead of the game, and I think I was listening to BT and Sal when Craig Carton called in, you know, fellow Fox guy, to relay the message about Daniel Jones being released. Go ahead and tell us, who's the mole? Who's the guy in the locker room giving you all the information?
There's always a few different people you have to navigate. I would love to tell you who it is, but I think even better, I could tell you what's going on in East Rutherford, which is not anything good.
No, it's not. And I first saw your report about Giants players speaking out, and there was, like, anonymous players. So I'm like, all right, if guys are talking and they're not putting their names to it, like, they're talking to reporters, like, this stuff's going to get out. Go ahead and fill us in. I mean, this is WFAN. It's the home of the New York Giants. There are a ton of Giants fans listening that are just kind of arms up, giving up on the team and the franchise right now as we head into Thanksgiving, and they're all going to be watching that game against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, I think I would start by saying, you know, it was made pretty clear to me over the last week or so, Keith, that Brian Daboll is coaching for his job. And I think on the heels of what happened in Germany against Carolina, that was the game that I think set ownership over the edge, not necessarily to make a move right now, but certainly to put Brian Daboll on the hot seat and make him understand that this is not tolerable. This is not tenable. You know, it's a very proud franchise, and it's a franchise that is predicated not only on winning but on class. And I think the way in which the Giants handled the Daniel Jones situation, to me, was not classy at all. I think he has taken responsibility, and he did, for some of the or for his on-field play, which he said was not good enough. But it's also a quarterback who had been through three head coaches, multiple coordinators, and the Giants to come out and say, Keith, that this was a football decision, I think was just ridiculous. You know, they in one day he goes from QB1 to QB4 essentially, and they put him at scout team safety. I know he volunteered to do that, but it was an embarrassing look for the franchise. And this is not how you treat people. And I just think when you're the New York Giants, for better or worse, you're held to a higher standard. And I think it's disappointing for me just as a football fan to see the state in which they're at. And I think it's very clear that players, and this was relayed to me as well, that players were extremely disappointed, not only in Daniel being benched, but in the manner in which he was benched. So I would say that it's a very critical time for the New York Giants, these last 7 weeks, to have some type of momentum, certainly for Brian Daboll's sake, I think for Joe's sake as well. And I think also if you look at, and I don't know how much this has been discussed, Keith, but if you look at some of the players that have left New York, either by trade or free agency, it's no coincidence that they have had tremendous success elsewhere, whether it's Saquon or McKinney. You know, both those guys are candidates for offensive and defensive player of the year. Obviously, Julian Love in Seattle, Leo in Seattle. So it's fascinating to me that that's happened.
Yeah, no, it's not fascinating to me. It's the grass is greener with the Eagles who wear green and the Green Bay Packers who wear green for Saquon and McKinney. And, you know, these are mistakes. You know, when these are moves that are made when you let players go and they go on elsewhere to succeed and you're struggling, right? The Giants can't intercept the football. There's a stat out there about them going 10 weeks without an interception. Yeah. Meanwhile, Xavier McKinney is leading the league in interceptions. Like, that's a stain on not just Brian Daboll, but the GM as well. So that's my next question, right? If Daboll is coaching for his job, is there a world where we see Shane be safe and have to fire his buddy that he came in with? Because this is not going to change anytime soon. I think they lose to the Giants, or I think they lose to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I think they have a couple more losses coming up when you look at the Ravens and the Eagles and some other teams. Like, is there a world where we see them both get shown the door? Because I've already been telling everybody, you got to see it through for next year's draft.
Oh, I think it's certainly possible that both Joe and Brian could be looking for work. I wouldn't say that it's probable just yet, but I think it's certainly possible. Just given the state of the roster, you talked about Saquon and Philly and the grass being greener on that side, especially with those when they wear those Kelly greens. I mean, the Saquon situation alone is cause for concern. They talked about not being able to afford him. They paid Drew Lock $5 million. They paid Devin Singletary $7 million. Well, now Drew Lock's QB3 and Singletary's a backup. So congratulations. That money could have gone towards Saquon. That alone is a huge red flag for me. So listen, I hate calling for people's jobs, and it's not something I want to do. But I think given how badly things have gone for the team, for the franchise, the way that, again, they handled the Daniel Jones benching, I think it is absolutely possible that both Brian and Joe, who to my knowledge still have a very good relationship, could be looking for work after the season.
We're on the phone right now with Jordan Schultz, Fox NFL Insider. Yeah, those are just more mistakes. I know that there are reporters and fans online that are writing down all of these mistakes. Another potential mistake here, which, you know, I saw you break the news on Azeez Ojulari. There was a lot of conversation at the trade deadline about Azeez Ojulari being traded, as well as Darius Slayton. So you just mentioned the money spent, right? The $12 million that they spent on Devin Singletary and Drew Lock, who are non-factors, and that could have been spent this year on Saquon. They didn't trade Saquon last year because they didn't want to, you know, fracture the locker room. Well, they also didn't trade Azeez Ojulari and Darius Slayton right now. Now, Azeez is going on IR, and Darius Slayton, we don't know if he's even going to touch the football.
Oh, that's a great point. And, too, another one, too, is was John Runyon. That was more money that could have gone to Saquon. I don't know how much that's been discussed, and I think they'll get a comp pick, I want to say, of four for McKinney. So there's just 100% agree with you. You also at some point you wonder, or you stop getting a pass for mistakes. And when you're talking about Slayton, when you're talking about who was the other one you just said?
Aziz Ojulari.
Oh, Aziz Ojulari. Yeah, I mean, like, if the deadline, there were a lot of teams, two or three teams interested in Aziz Ojulari, and I think they probably could have gotten a fifth-round pick for him somewhere, a five or a six. They probably wanted a four. I don't know if they were ever getting that. But they just shut him down on IR, and he doesn't have to have surgery, which is a positive. But that's a really good young player. And if you don't think you're going to be able to retain him after the season, and perhaps they do, but if you don't think you're going to be able to keep him, then that was a trade that should have been made, considering that it was at the peak of his value with six sacks. He's still very young. It's a premium position. And they didn't make the move. And now what's going to happen? I don't know the answer to it. And you mentioned Slayton. That was another guy that there was certainly interest for at the trade deadline. I know they would love to extend him. I don't know if they're going to be able to. Just because if you're Darius Slayton, or any free agent, by the way, you're looking at the Giants and you're saying, why would I want to be there? I think it's reasonable for any free agent, and I haven't really said this, and I don't want to pile on, Keith, but I want to be fair and respectful. I think if you're a free agent, I'll pile on. Go for it. Well, if you're a free agent, all I would say is why would you want to go to the New York Giants? I don't see any reason why a free agent, especially one that's going to be able to get money, like real money, would want to go there. And if the money's even remotely close, I'm going elsewhere. I'm going to an organization that is not only committed to winning, but is committed to class. And those were two things that we as football fans, first and foremost, have always associated this franchise with, and they're just not there anymore.
Okay, last two things for you. I mean, one is me piling on. When you talk about Slayton, there was all of this nonsense about Slayton commenting on Nick McCloud's Instagram. And there's a lot of people looking at the way that they handled the Nick McCloud situation before Daniel Jones, right? They asked him to take less money. He didn't want to take less money. They released him. They could have just traded him. Anyway, Slayton wrote free man on his Instagram. That caused up a storm. But Slayton came out and said it was because he posted a Young Thug song. Young Thug is a rapper who was locked up, whatever. But like that just tells me like Slayton is on his way out of here too. They didn't trade Nick McCloud. They released him. And that was one of the first things that started to ruffle some feathers in the locker room.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones was after that. And now this is something that they don't control, right? They can try to control the play on the field and wins, but I still don't think they're going to win. But Daniel Jones is going to sign with another team. And if Daniel Jones is QB2 and QB1 goes down on a playoff team and Daniel Jones enters a better situation and plays well, that's going to look really bad on them. What are you hearing about Daniel Jones? I heard that he's not trying to be an Oakland Raider, I understand.
Yeah, well, if you look at what happened over the weekend, I mean, it really, from his perspective, could not have gone any better. I'm sure he wants the team to succeed, but realistically, they release him. They lose 30-7 at home to Tampa. It's a team that looked flat, and I think many guys said they played soft. They were embarrassed. And obviously, Tommy didn't play particularly well, and it's just like it was the perfect storm. Daniel Jones is being coveted by several teams, not only several teams, but playoff contending teams. And the reason is because he is 27 years old. And I think a lot of teams look at him like there's still his best football ahead of him. And Brian Daboll was supposed to be this quarterback whisperer. And for whatever reason, it never really seemed to click between those two. I think Daniel Jones is going to really surprise a lot of people, Keith. And I don't know if it's this year in terms of being a backup, but I think he will be a starter again in this league. I think he will have a lot of success in this league. And it's clearly not going to be with the Giants. But it will be with a team that will value him and maximize his skill set, which I believe is robust. Now, I'm also someone that really liked him coming out of Duke. I'm not a quarterback whisperer by any stretch of the imagination, but over the last two or three days, I have talked to four or five scouts who basically are all in agreement that this guy is talented. and he just needed a fresh start. And what does that say about Daboll, the offense, and the organization? I'm telling you right now, Keith, he's going to sign somewhere. It's going to be with a playoff contending team, and at some point, either this year or next, he will be a starter again in this league.
Jordan Schultz, ladies and gentlemen, Fox NFL Insider. Jordan, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, brother. Be in touch.
888-808-1019. I've got some thoughts on everything that you just heard. Giants fans, call me up. We'll get your calls in the rest of the hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to play audio from Pat McAfee, Tuesdays with Aaron Rodgers, and then Garrett Wilson talking to our very own Zach Gelb. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Okay, a lot to unpack from that call. With
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Jordan Schultz, Keith McPherson on The Fan. If you're just tuning in and you missed that, go back about 20 minutes in the free Odyssey app. And start from around 8:06, 8:07. So I opened up tonight saying that, you know, Giants fans, you got to stomach this. You got to just see it through. It's part of the process. It's not fun, but you got to lose out. This is tanking all to get that top pick. But the more I think about it, right, circumstances change and situations change and anybody could get a top 3-5 pick. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, any GM or head coach can come in with that top 3-5 pick, draft you a quarterback, or trade the pick, or do something else with it. It doesn't have to be married to Shane and Daboll. And if you listen to Jordan Schultz talk, who, like, he's got his ear to the streets, and, like, he said he didn't want to pile on, but it's not piling on, it's facts. And when the facts start to literally pile up with mistakes that you have made, with your personnel, with former Giants going elsewhere and succeeding, look, those are stains on your resume that they can't be removed on top of the terrible record that you're building. 888-808-1019, it isn't good. And I was just thinking about, you know, the caller that said, like, the Mariners are going to be together for Thanksgiving. I highly doubt that they're going to be. Man, I don't know where they're going to be. But let's say they are together in Dallas. The Cowboys are trash this year. They're literally playing USFL players. Josh Butler, a starting corner from last week, who filled in for Trayvon Diggs, and Kayvon Turpin, who everybody knows now, he came out of the UFL. They're not supposed to win games, and they're, you know, they don't have their starting quarterback, and they're a mess too. Mike McCarthy on his way out. You've got to compete for four quarters with them. 888-808-1019. You cannot get blown out by them. You cannot go into Jerry World with the whole world watching. If we're hearing that Mara and these guys, Tish, whoever, they were embarrassed after the whole world watch the Germany game, right? 9:30 to, you know, noon, you watch them lose to the Panthers, who we all had as the worst team in the NFL. If that was embarrassing, it's even more embarrassing on a holiday, which is going to get more eyes than that game for sure, against your division rival, to get blown out by the Dallas Cowboys without Dak Prescott, without some other key players. So 888-808-1019, we'll continue the Giants calls and Giants talk. We'll mix in a little bit of Aaron Rodgers. We'll mix in a little bit of Juan Soto because we're headed there. Let's go to Ash in Manhattan on The Fan. Go for it, Ash.
Hi, Keith. How are you? I wanted to hear your thoughts about the a little bit further, I guess, about the ownership. Do you how responsible do you think they are for where the team is now? Do you think that they somehow created the environment that they're in with the coaches? So it may not be 100% the coaches, but somehow the owners themselves are have a hand in all of this?
No, I mean, I don't know. It's a couple things. Thanks for the call, Ash. Like, I can't blame. I just have the image of Mara, which I've seen him in some press conferences. I've seen him come out and talk about we're not tanking, we would never do that. I remember mentioning last week that Dan Duggan spoke on, you know, in 2017, you know, him coming out and saying we would never tank for a pick. You know, we're not doing that. There's a lot of pride when you think about the history. He is the history. Like, John Mara has lived this. I just think that, you know, there are a couple things that can happen here. Like, circumstances change. I know Gettleman's contract was expiring. They were showing him the door and, you know, there was a thought that they were going to stick with Joe Judge because of the two prior head coaches only getting 2 years. And then that changed. I mean, Joe Judge literally talked himself out of the job at the podium. But I think here, you know, the fans do control things. The fans can get loud. They call the fan. This is a forum for voices to be heard anonymously, randomly. I mean, you can say your name and where you're from, but ultimately it's the tone of Giants fans calling. Like, if you listen to the fan after the Giants game and hear the calls, I just looked at Paulie like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, if you listen to my good buddies Bob Papa and Carl Banks, like, they're going through it. And how much can you go through until you say enough is enough? And, like, these guys caused it, you're done.
They're going through it so much. Then I'm going to talk. I'll do a shameless plug first. When I'm on the air Thanksgiving morning from midnight to 3, I'm going to talk about this.
Hey.
That they, I think it's getting close that the Giants might be in a worse position than the Jets. From a PR standpoint, from a fan standpoint, and even from, like, an actual talent standpoint, we are getting to a point where the Giants are not only included in the conversation of embarrassments in the NFL that the Jets rightfully so are in. The Giants are now approaching that, which is crazy to say when you think about the Giants organization, but they are approaching what the Jets are right now, and that's not good for anybody.
No, because it goes against what they've been, the four Super Bowls. I was talking about how when I was younger, you know, just the fact that they knocked off Tom Brady, the fact that they beat the undefeated team, the fact that they won 2 Super Bowls in 5 years, during that stretch, you couldn't say a thing to the New York Giant fan. There was a ton of pride. It's gone. It's completely gone. It's a mess. And they've been as bad as any NFL team over this last 10 years. They literally can come to a point where it could, I don't know. This is where we're at. If this continues to spiral, John Mara can look at Joe Shane and say, I came in and I told you about Saquon. I told you I wasn't going to sleep well. And look at this. And like, there, that's what I was saying to Jordan. There are things that they don't control. If Daniel Jones gets on, I don't know, the Vikings or the Ravens or the Lions and Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson or, God forbid, you know, Jared Goff, one of these guys go down and Daniel Jones steps in and balls, like, that's something that Shane and Dable have nothing to do with that's going to look bad on them. Xavier McKinney, Jordan Love, Leonard Williams. You heard me mention the Nick McCloud thing. Let's not forget that from 2 weeks ago. Like, Nick McCloud, that was the first fracture in the locker room, because something I've said is football players know who is who. When you lift with guys, when you practice with guys, you know who the ballers are, you know who the mid guys are, and you know the guys that are barely there and don't really belong.
And that's why I think Giants players took it so personally with Daniel Jones, because maybe they knew that he wasn't like a top-tier quarterback. Maybe they knew that, but that guy, that was their brother, and they knew why he was getting. They knew it was a financial motivation, and when you're in a situation like football players are in, where any game could be your last.
Literally.
Legit.
You could be paralyzed on the field.
Absolutely. And maybe they knew that, you know what, DJ's not what we thought he was, but now you're just doing this for money.
He gives us the best chance to win.
Yeah.
This guy is taking on linebackers, taking on defensive ends. This guy has had a neck injury, just came back from an ACL. Oh, that's another thing. You think those Giants players didn't watch him rehab and fight his ass off to come back from that ACL injury? That's tough, man. That rehab to come back from the ACL injury, I know myself, I measured Kyler Murray's recovery and return to the NFL, and I just used that as a map for Daniel Jones, and I'm like, he's not going to be ready for training camp in August. He put in the work. He lifted weights. He probably every single waking hour of the day did something to put himself in position to come back and lead this team, and that's how he was rewarded for it. And those players, those players that were getting treatment next to him, those players that were in the weight room next to him, those players that were in the building next to him, they don't care about the finances. They know that he is much better than Tommy DeVito. 888-808-1019. They know that Nick McCloud is a guy that was a baller in there. That gives them a better chance to win. And you ask him to take less money, and you release him, and he ends up with the 49ers, and they all celebrate it. Like, good for you, bro, even though the 49ers probably aren't making the playoffs now. Still an organization that goes to Super Bowls and wins usually, and they're like, good for you, man. Good for you. You know, another thing I'll say about it before we take this next call, Rob, I'm queuing you up. You know, with Daboll, there's a lot of talk about how, like, the relationship with Daboll, you know, was awkward or it wasn't good. Well, we knew that from the jump. I mean, that first Titans game where Daniel Jones throws that interception in 2022 and Daboll is yelling at him and flipping iPads, we kind of knew that, right? He was always this redheaded stepchild. And I know that's not the right thing to say, but it's a phrase. Stepchild. Doesn't matter the hair color. But he was always this, like, inherited quarterback that Daboll didn't handpick, that Daboll didn't want, that Daboll couldn't coach and get the things out of. He was able to limit the turnovers. He was able to draw up some plays to be successful enough to surprise teams in 2022, but that didn't last long. Like, you could just see the frustration with Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones. So ultimately, it came to an end. But I'm telling you, the person that I saw basically signing off to Giants fans, that Daniel Jones, if he could come back from that ACL injury like he did, he's going to use this as motivation. He's going to use this as fuel to make sure that he succeeds elsewhere, and he will, with a better offensive line, better weapons, better culture, and fans not booing him as he walks to his car out of the stadium. Rob is in New Hyde Park. Rob, you ready to go?
Yeah, ready to go. Thanks, Keith, man. Love the show. I appreciate all you do, and you got some good takes on here, so thanks for that.
Thank you.
So Schultz's take just now, look, I'm going to preface this by saying I am not a Giants fan, and I've played enough football to know, at least I would say more than your average bear. Schultz's take just now on Daniel Jones, as much as he might be a great guy and a hard worker, that's just a flat-out garbage take. There's not a team fawning over a guy who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. There are so many deficiencies in Daniel Jones' game. Look, he can't hit his checkdowns properly. He doesn't see guys wide open. Does he have athleticism? Perhaps. At 27, you're not the oldest guy in the league. You're not the youngest guy in the league. But it's not like there's going to be a lineup here to sign a guy that's shown his decision-making is horrible. His vision is horrible. They upgraded an offensive line, and it was better this year. It didn't do a damn thing to change Daniel Jones's performance. So I love that the players come out and they'll galvanize around him and they'll say he is not the problem, he's not the problem. And, you know, it's a posthumous credit to probably his work ethic. But as far as him being a quarterback in the NFL and in this league and what we've shown, it's not like he had a small sample size here. And Daboll's got a history of building up Josh Allen to something that's been incredible, and he might take some credit for that. But I don't think this is just an utter failure of Daboll and Shane. I mean, they've put some pieces around him, and they've got neighbors this year. They've got an upgraded line for him. But what I'm seeing is a guy who just point blank couldn't do the basics. And I think the worst part about Daniel Jones might have been his vision. The last play of about two receivers running wide open down a field on a flea flicker play where you've got to pull the trigger, it's on him. And again, not being a Giant fan, I've watched some pretty good quarterbacking for, I don't want to divulge the team because it's frankly embarrassing the team I root for, but I can't imagine a playoff team, some team of a certain caliber, wanting to come in and say, oh, we definitely want Daniel Jones as our backup because God forbid our quarterback goes down. We're going to need somebody who can play. Daniel Jones hasn't shown that.
Thanks for the call, Rob, but I'm going to disagree. Everything is compounded, right? If you are the number 6 overall pick of the New York Giants and there are viral videos of people freaking out because that pick was made that literally changed your life, if that's how you come into the organization, kids falling on the ground, guys like Joe Budden looking disgusted, other fans just frozen, I can't believe they took Daniel Jones, that's how you were brought in. And then if you have to go through different head coaches, different coordinators, neck injury, knee injury, ankle injury, shoulder injury, all of these things are compounded. Fans booing you. You're the quarterback. You get all the blame, right? And then new coach comes in. The season happens where they're chanting, Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones. You think you've arrived. You go to Minnesota. Put a pen in that. I'll tell you what the current head coach of Minnesota had to say about Daniel Jones. You go to Minnesota, you win a playoff game for a franchise that doesn't have many playoff wins or appearances in the last decade and some change. You're the man. They pay you. You get your payday. Wow. But then you get hurt the next year. The team sucks. Tommy DeVito comes up, and it's all how quickly everybody's, Tommy DeVito, this could be the guy. He could be the future. He could be 10-year quarterback. He could be the next Tom Brady. Not me, but you heard things like that on The Fan. And it's like, wait, what about me? I'm hurt. I can't go right now. And then the next year comes, they draft you a Malik Nabers. But before they draft you a Malik Nabers, you watch Hard Knocks and find out, or well, after they draft you a Malik Nabers, you watch Hard Knocks and find out through the process they wanted Drake May. Really, they wanted Jaden Daniels. They wanted to replace you in this draft, but they could not. Yeah, they paid you, but they gave themselves an out. All of these things are compounded. Now you're gun shy. Now you're not letting it rip. Now you're not confident on the field. Why? You don't want to get hurt. You don't want to turn the ball over. You don't want to get benched. You don't want Tommy DeVito to play over you who's not better than you. It's tough to play in that situation. How come Sam Darnold is having a better season where he is? How come Geno Smith is having a better season out where he is? How about Baker Mayfield? Now, look at what Baker Mayfield is. We can't act like Daniel Jones cannot go elsewhere and succeed. 888-808-1019. Kevin O'Connell, who played quarterback at San Diego State, they asked him in his media availability about Daniel Jones. He said, I got to know Jones through the draft process years ago. I'm sure now that he's a free agent, there's probably a ton of league-wide interest in him. Daniel is going to make the decision that's best for him and his career moving forward. I'm sure he's working through that process right now. I really can't get into too much short-term or long-term. But I think you're nuts if you don't think that Daniel Jones is better than Hendon Hooker, who came into the league hurt from Tennessee. That's who's backing up Jared Goff right now. I also think you're nuts if you think that Daniel Jones isn't better than Josh Johnson, who we saw have to be thrown into action 2 years ago when the 49ers should have went to the Super Bowl, not the Eagles, but Brock Purdy got his arm snapped by Hassan Reddick, and Josh Johnson had to try to pretend to play quarterback. That's who's backing up Lamar Jackson in Baltimore right now. I don't even know who the backup is. Nick Mullins in Minnesota? Because J.J. McCarthy's hurt. Sam Darnold is one play away from Nick Mullins being in there. And Daniel Jones is probably better than Nick Mullins. You can't tell me getting out of New York, we've seen a lot of athletes get away from the toxic environment that we create here as fans and media members. You can't tell me getting away from New York, getting away from a coach that treated him like a stepchild, getting away from an offensive line that couldn't block for him, won't serve him better, and he won't use the way that he was cut and treated, literally running scout team safety, QB4. He won't use that as motivation to make better reads, better throws, play a little better. I think he will. The story's not done with Daniel Jones, and that's something that Shane and Dable can't control, where he goes and how he performs, but it will be a stain on their resume. 888-808-1019. KM to AM returns right after this.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, man. As much as we love the NFL is king. It absolutely sucks to suck. When your team sucks, when you can't wear your favorite hat, jersey, jacket, when you can't go and enjoy a Sunday at the stadium, when you can't bet on your team, when you turn on the radio and everything's negative. Let's switch the subject. We've got all night. Dominic is in East Rochester. Dominic, you're back on The Fan.
Keith McPherson, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. you know, I got the Yankees on my mind, of course, but, you know, how would you like to have a football team that can only beat the best teams in the league?
Oh, you're a Browns fan. Your team gave the most guaranteed quarterback or the most guaranteed money to a quarterback that can't win them games, but every other quarterback can, from Jameis Winston to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, hell, P.J. Walker, Joe Flacco, whoever else they put in there for no money can figure out how to get them wins. Deshaun Watson, nah.
Well, you know, I'd like to think I know a lot about baseball. I don't know a lot about the mechanics of football, but I'll tell you something. Even I knew Jameis Winston was a better quarterback than the other guys. So, you know, whatever. But, you know, we beat Baltimore. We can beat Pittsburgh.
Hey,
but,
Denver, you know, coming up on Monday Night Football. That's a big one.
Oh, Denver. We haven't beat Denver since 1942.
If you beat Denver in Denver to slow down Bo Nix and Sean Payton, then there's a conversation to be had.
Yeah, we had some real interesting games with Denver years ago. I think it was before, I think you were just a kid or not even
Bernie
born.
Kosar?
Anyway, and pardon?
Bernie Kosar,
and, you know, they had whatever his name is there. He's still there. He made the Hall of Fame, their quarterback, whatever.
John Elway,
which was drafted by the Yankees. Anyway, listen, I do have the Yankees on my mind, but I will say this one thing about the Giants, you know, and other teams like them. You know, not only are they big market, but they're biggest market. They're in the biggest market, and yet they let their best players go. You know, what kind of a management is that? You know, you telling me that they can't afford to pay Barkley? I mean,
yeah,
really?
Guys coming in from Buffalo and Carolina thinking that they could small market this thing, and it has blown up in their faces so far.
No, really. I mean, it's unbelievable sometimes. And, you know, the Red Sox are doing the same thing. I mean, you know, they've unloaded an MVP and now a Cy Young winner. You know, what's the matter with these teams?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Really.
Chris Sale and Mookie Betts. And good for them.
Really?
Getting out of Beantown.
Yeah, really. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Where, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you can't even get, if I want to go to a Giants game, I can't even get a ticket, right? There's no tickets, right?
They're free. You can get a ticket now. They're going to cost nothing now.
You know what I mean? There was a line waiting for season tickets, and that, you know, what is this? This was a top rate organization,
yeah.
And by the way, the best in sports is the Steelers. I can tell you right now,
consistently.
So, listen, on Soto, I may have pitched this to you before, Keith, but I'm sorry, it's still on my mind. You know, this Antichrist Boris is he's taking his best customers, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the you know, San Francisco, San Diego, and he's holding them hostage with this guy. You know, this doesn't have to take this long. You know, I mean, he's holding these teams up like ours, where we don't know what else we can do until we see if we're going to be paying this guy. And it's just, it's bad business. It's bad business, and yet the guy gets away with it.
Yeah, it won't go on for too much longer. I think we've got this week and next week.
Well, you say that, but you can't guarantee it. You're probably right, but you can't guarantee it. And then these guys are parading out to California, Steinbrenner and Cohen and that. You know, well, what is Steinbrenner going to tell him about playing for the New York Yankees that he doesn't already know about playing for the New York Yankees? I mean, really?
Nothing. There's nothing,
you know,
to add.
Nothing.
There's nothing to
and
add.
And then he wants to know, and then Soto, and I like Soto. Hey, listen, I want him. But I don't want him, Keith, if it's going to prevent us from getting the other positions filled that we need to fill.
Yeah.
If that's what's going to happen, then cut bait, let him go, and let's get a couple of pitchers. Let's get a third baseman. Let's get a first baseman. and, you know, let's get a better backup catcher.
Left field, and, yeah.
Well, right field has got to be. I mean, you know, Soto's
Judge,
gone,
put Judge back in right.
He's a
Dominguez
right
in
fielder.
Center. Get me a left
best
fielder.
Right fielder. Keith, best right fielder in baseball, Judge. The best right fielder in baseball.
Definitely better than Soto out there. Tournament. Yeah, definitely better than Soto.
Of course he is. So, you know, again, this Boris is holding these teams hostage, and they're letting them get away with it. That's the way I see it, and it just makes me sick. Anyway, Keith, listen, have a nice holiday, my friend, and I'll talk to you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Don. Before we break here, 888-808-1019. Now the name Juan Soto has entered the conversation, and I'm with it. I've been with it. Luckily, I got a vacation and a week off from it, and I came back kind of jaded. Like, all right, like, we're going to do this for how many more weeks? But I honestly do think it ends next week because of two reasons. One, baseball's Bond villain, the evil agent, the most famous agent that is, Scott Boras, got humbled last year. The Boras Five, it took them way too long to get signed, get into camp. He will not let it drag on that long, not just for Juan Soto, but for the rest of his clients, for Pete Alonso, let's say. And then also, you know, I believe, like the rest of the league and the teams and the players, it won't take that long because when we get to the winter meetings, it can't be 3 days of, oh, Juan Soto this. Juan Soto appears to be headed to the, oh, there's this offer and that offer. And like it's he can't hold up the line. He's the first domino that has to fall. He's the biggest fish that has to be fried. I saw Brendan Cuddy put out that offers for Juan Soto are expected to go through multiple rounds. A league source tells The Athletic. First round is expected to be preliminary, meant to gauge genuine interest from all parties. The following offers rounds could start around next week. After Thanksgiving, makes sense. There's a holiday approaching. Expected to become increasingly more serious, weeding out candidates and seemingly pointing towards a winter meetings-ish decision frameline. The first day of winter meetings is the deadline. It can't go through the whole thing because that's going to hold up business for the rest of the free agent, the rest of the markets, the rest of the teams, the rest of the owners. So I expect Juan Soto to make his decision by December 7th, 8th. I think the winter meetings are the 9th through 12th, and I think it can't be any later than the 12th, but I think it's going to be in the beginning. So we'll talk about Juan Soto. I told you my new take is this, right? This guy just did a Celsius ad where they position him at a podium with 100 microphones making his decision to join Celsius, and there are people out there like, oh, like I don't know why you would think Juan Soto was announcing his decision on Instagram. Where I've gotten to this with Juan Soto is plan A is the Yankees need to sign Juan Soto. Plan A for the Mets is to sign Juan Soto. I saw the Red Sox, they upped their offer because Scott Boras probably told them, hey, that's weak sauce. Increase your offer or you'll be weeded out next week, both in years and total value. And I don't know how much I trust Hector Gomez reporting anyway, but I feel like with Juan Soto for the Yankees, he is more interested in money and the biggest headline. And if Steve Cohen wants to continue to go 50 million more, 10 million more, whatever it is, if he's really committed to that and Hal Steinbrenner says Uncle Stevie, pun intended, if he says uncle, Steve Cohen's going to win that. And I think it behooves Juan Soto and Scott Boras because they're interested in the most money and the most attention. He'll get way more attention leaving the Yankees and going to the Mets, because who the hell would do that? He would get way more attention going to do that than staying with the Yankees, who he just went to the World Series and lost with. 888-808-1019. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.